from the airlines.
I think they're wondering why so many of us are in one hotel at one place. So I told them there's 120 gathered from around the world, Christians. She goes, wow. Pretty brave people.
Lord bless you. The flight tomorrow,
LL flight number 347, leaving for Zurich. Your time has been changed. You were to leave at 9:30 in the morning. The flight has been changed to 14:30 or 2:30 in the afternoon. Thank you.
Well, these changes is maybe to go a little bit more.
Amen. That was a very appropriate song we were just singing, because we're going to take up a subject now in prayer concerning the believers living here in the land. And Johannes temporarily is occupied with Gustav. He's asked me to sort of be here while he's waiting. And it's very appropriate. We have these brothers here, Barry and Tom and Shual from the land here, that are going to be helping us pray. And the direction of the Spirit seems very clear this morning concerning this matter of the almond rod, continuing to maintain it. And as we pray for the believers in the land here, those of us from many other places, we've been called to hold up their hands, to hold up the body. And this is to be a very strong and powerful and positive time of prayer now. You and I get to get on these planes and leave. And of course, we're going to go home and multiply and mobilize a lot of other people to pray and encourage those who have been praying while we were here and give them reports and stir up a lot of supplication and prayer for Israel when we go home. But the word of the Lord is to really hold up the hands of the believers, pray for much grace to come upon them. And so we're going to take this time to do that. And our brother Shual is going to begin. God bless you.
Well, I think it would be easy to call me Schatz. That's the name I grew with. Schatz is much easier. Some people call me Shual, which is mean fox. Last year when I had my, how do you call this, badge tag, whatever is that, it was Pastor Sheol Tuella. And only when I took it one day to put it on my shirt, I said, my goodness, with what I'm identifying. So, Schatz is the best. It's sweet, it's fitting me also. But that was the name I grew with. I know, yeah. Yeah. The matter of fact, just to save time, we had a German brother in Tiberias. He was a guest with us for a few months. And one day he saw Ruben, you know, Ruben Berger and Benjamin. We lived together for a long time before they moved to Jerusalem. He saw him running to me and he hugged me and he said, Schatz, how are you doing? And he came to me and he said, oh, that's no good. And I said, why? He said, you know what people will think about you. That's my name, and I think it's nice. There is wonderful. Okay. Praise God, it starts with a joke. Anyhow. You see, our brother Eli mentioned here, and Tom earlier mentioned, Tom spoke to me early in the morning, you know, it was on his head. He was worried. You see, what we began in this conference, it will have to continue probably till the day that all Israel will be saved, and after that till the coming of Christ. What really bothered me in the past, there were conferences, and after the conferences will be like 24 people that intercede, because they want to see a lot of shouting and yelling. And but when it goes down to the depth of it, 2 hours of labors in prayer and waiting upon the Lord, and dedicate your time to Jesus, it's not your own time anymore, then this number is decreasing and decreasing and decreasing and decreasing, and you find no group together that will pray. I remember in, I think the year 85, We've been in Male Hamisha, and we've been doing spiritual warfare, and one of the targets was Tzfat. Safed, you call it? Tzfat, Safed. It's a very Kabbalistic city. It's a city that's flooded by demons and sorcerers and whatever you want. It's there on the top of the hill. And I tell you, it's heavy. Now, the Lord just lay on my heart that the next target that I have is Tzfat. We started in the north to lay fellowships, and it's pretty hard, but the next target is Tzfat. And I shared it with some people. I said, you know, Tzfat now is the second target, and I'm shivering. And they said, why? I said, because they can beat me there with no problem. There are zealots from class number A. And it's heavy spiritual pressure. And we will need troops of people that will march the city before the Lord and will pray and seek the mind of Christ. So we will know exactly where to go. We will know how to make the battle. And the Lord will gather His people into Tzfat, and another fellowship shall rise up. And in the newspaper of the religious, and after that in the media, they said, do you know what this Christian in Tiberias want to do? They want to conquer all Israel and Tzfat too. Now, how they climb on it, I don't know, but the devil is frightened. Now, the point that I want to raise up is this. And I want to start with Luke 21 from verse 36. I think that what I will do, I will not go into messages. I think most of you know better than I these things. But I'll share with you the points for the need of prayer. I intended that in quarter to 12, we will start to pray till the very moment that we have to go to eat, if you don't mind. Let's start in Luke. I can put it here. Luke 21, from verse 33 till 36. And to make story short, he said, just be careful that your heart shall not be hardened with trouble of drinking or eating. How do you eat? How shall you live? Money for this, money for that. Careful that you shall not be driven, in other words, into lifestyle that your belly becomes the first thing before God. Now, sometimes we might think that it's not true, but we live in a pattern of life that all these physical things taking place before the Lord. The devil is very tricky, and he put our mind to be busy with many things that are very important, but I don't know if they are important for God. And he start to create visions, and he will send people that will witness to us what to do, and we slowly lean on opinion of man and not on the opinion of God. Now, I know rule number one, if you want to receive something from Jesus, you have to be on the same channel. He will not speak to you through other telephone, but he will be only on his own channel. You cannot force God to go on your own channels. You have to tune to his own channel. He bring it down from heaven. Jesus, our Lord, still interceding for us before the throne of his Father. And if we want to be with him on the same linkage, we have to go on the same line of intercession. I don't believe in humble jumble of being 2 minutes before the Lord and hopes I got a solution. You need to be with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your might and understanding before the Lord. Which is mean even when it seems that you are eating or drinking, your heart have to continue to pray and to speak to the Lord and wait upon the Lord. So the Lord, in its the right time, he will release to you what you need to do. I'm saying things that I'm fighting to keep it. I'm not keeping it to the fullness. But this is the first connection. And he's warning us, the time will come that it shall be that our own attention going to be under attack, and we will start to move aside from being in connection with God, and we will start to listen to other voices, sweet voices, convincing voices, appealing to our intellect, logical voices. Then he used the word, Shkodu, watch. In Hebrew, it's the same word for the almond. You see, the almond is Shkedia, Shkedim, Lishkod. This is the almond, actually, that bud and gave flower and then gave fruit, the almonds themselves. It was in the Ark of the Lord, right? It remained there. In Revelation, it says that the temple of the Lord opened, and we could see there, John saw the Ark of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord still there. But he used the word watch, and back again he used the word watch. And let's go to Lucas 22. Now, watching and praying, this is one of the biggest things to do. In one place, Jesus said to his disciple, watch. Four times, watch. In other place, he said, pray. Watch and pray. To watch is mean to be constantly in prayer before the Lord. You don't need to invent words. Your heart has to be open to the Lord. No matter what I do, I am there in readiness. Lord, I'm your servant. You can use me. Do with me what you want. I do the necessary things for my body, but my spirit is open. I want to receive from you. I want to be filled by you. I want your word to come into my heart so I know how to act. I can see the action of my heart. I can see where I am standing with you. Watch and pray that you will not come to temptation. Watch and pray, for you do not know in which time the Son of Man is come. Pray one for another. Pray without ceasing, like that widow that did not give rest to the judge. How much more your Father will give you the Holy Spirit. He will do this right judgment. He will lift you up from any situation you are into His light. He will build you up. He will start to really let the fruit of the Holy Spirit yield out from our lives. So the first thing is watch and watch and watch. Then in Matthew, he used back again the term watch and watch. And right away after that, he says, but then the kingdom of God will be like 10 virgins that fell asleep. 5 of them with oil, with the Holy Spirit. 5 of them without anything. But they fell asleep. Now, there's a verse there that I didn't agree to that, you know. I said, Lord, why? Lord, please, I don't want to be in sleep. I don't want my family or my fellowship to be in sleep. Please, Lord, I don't want to be like Peter saying, I won't sleep. But help me. I don't want to sleep. I don't want to fall. I want to be with you. I want to be alert. He says there, when they saw these 10 virgins, that the bridegroom is delayed, they wanted him to come on a certain time. They heard, they understood that he will come on a certain hour. So they were waiting, awake. But he did not come on that hour they heard he's supposed to come. And then they all fell asleep. They all fell asleep. And my trouble is that actually the body is in a sleep. I speak on the big numbers. I don't speak about one that prays in his own chamber, about two that intercede somewhere. It's two that God can save. Even with the smallest number, God don't need a big number to save somebody. God don't need big number of people to do His work. God wants those who are waiting for His mercy and grace. These that their heart is open. But you saw that in these days when we are together interceding before the Lord with one heart, one accord, what tremendous results we receive. But these are results that not concerning only one man. These are the results that affect the whole world. It's of course the destiny of Israel, but it's the situation in the whole world. How much more in our own fellowships? There is a need for the spirit of awakening, to watch, to be alert in prayer, to stand together in prayer, to pray as one body, one heart, one accord, to maintain the unity of the body of Christ. I want to share with you this verse when Jesus saying, "Peter, Peter, the devil wanted to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed that your faith shall not come to an end." And then when he was on the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his three disciples, "Stay here and watch with me." What a privilege to watch with the Lord together. But when he came, he saw them sleeping. These were the chosen three disciples. They've been with him on the mountain of Transfiguration. They've been with him when he raised Talitha from the death. They've been with him in many occasions when he needed to take few. He took these three with him. There was a kind of an intimate relationship. But when the real time came, the suffering of Christ, and we're in Colossians, we have to complete the suffering of Christ in our bodies, right? When this time came, they fell asleep. They could not watch with him. I'm sure that if Peter would not fall asleep and watch with the Lord together, he would have even higher privilege. Do not deny the Lord in the most difficult hour that the Lord suffered. They had tremendous opportunity to watch with the Lord Jesus Christ. And at least two times he came and he found them falling asleep. Their eyes were so heavy, they couldn't stand. So I believe it's a privilege of the Lord, but it's the calling of the Lord today more than ever that we need to watch, to be on alert. He said, "Watch," and it's free translation in Hebrew, "that you will have strength." Now, my understanding from the Aramaic is not just that you will have strength, but this strength will be moving in you. It's not standing like waters that get trodden after some time that did not move. This strength of the Lord is going to be like the blood cycle in your life. It's going to run there. It's going to run there to be revived all the time. You watch. You are on alert for the Lord so the Lord can feed you. The Lord can tune you. The Lord can give you what to pray, what to do in the right time, and how to lead others in the right time. And today we are in this place where we have to travail, where we have to stand with the suffering of our people, where we have to stand for all what's going on with the future of Israel, their salvation, and the salvation of the whole world. And in the body of Christ, to my soul, it's not going this way. It's not going this way. The nature of the fellowships today have to be completely changed. Fellowships of the Lord Jesus Christ have to be the troop number one, the best unit that ever exists. It has to be a body that contains, I don't know who will stand against me and will say, you are mistaken. I don't care. The body of Jesus Christ today in every city, and in the country, and in worldwide, it have to be the fellowship that is tuned 100% with God, that have the solution through the Holy Spirit and the knowledge and the understanding of God and the fruit of the Holy Spirit to act the work of God. Why we are called the body of Christ? Body that is not functioning is a dead body. And it gets rotten. After that it gets stink. You have to bury it in the ground. And then you put a stone on it. You don't let it surface up. The body of Christ have to act the act of Christ here upon the face of the earth. Jesus says, "The things that I am doing, you will do and greater than that, because I'm going to the Father." Now, he's not going to depart from us and go to the Father. He's going to intercede there, near the throne of God, always to stand and intercede for us before the Father. Therefore, we, his body, can do greater things, because his life shall be manifested in us here on earth, both in heaven. So we have to be ready. You have to be ready at any time for the Lord, like a servant. He said, "Blessed is the servant that his master, when he comes, he sees him ready." Ready for use. And not, fool with his belly and mistreat the servants, don't do his job right. His master seeing him ready, he's just waiting for the Lord to come. The house is clean, your table is ready, your hot shower is ready, everything is in order. Lord, you want anything else that I will do for you? My goodness, that's the way of alert we have to be. More than alert for the Scud missiles. More than in alert for any bombing or any shelling or whatever. We are before the King of Kings. Now, you see, one time I started to pay attention to what I'm reading in the Word of God. Once I used to read like a rabbi, you know, I used to be religious. I can read it. Actually, I read like that. One line, second line, third line, fourth line. I read like that. But I don't understand. But one day I read in Ephesians that the Father raised us up and set us in the highest with Christ. And I said, my goodness, what a kind of a believer I am. I bet the devil is laughing and the angels are embarrassing. You see, we are not a hidden or dead body. We are a living body and we are a visible body, and the principalities and powers knows it. They know where they have obstacles and they better flee, and they know where they can press because we are not effective. So be like that servant that is ready. When his masters come, he will serve him. But side by side with that, he take care for his servants, for his fellow servants. Now I'll give you some points for prayer, and I hope that we will use the rest of the time. We have 4 minutes of speaking. I tell you what I want to see in the body in light of prayer and watch. You can write them before you so you will know what to pray. It says, my people went to exile without knowledge. The knowledge of God was not among my people, and they went to exile. Other verse is saying that my people cease, became to be like a dead body, like paralyzed body, because they didn't have the knowledge of God. It says also, with lack of vision, the nation is scattered. When Israel came into the land, conquered the land physically, not spiritually, the first generation of the people that entered to the land, and among them those that was from the time of Moses, like Joshua and the other elders, died. Then it says that in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what is good in his eyes. To my sorrow, and I don't say for condemnation, I said out of love, because we can correct it now. We behave many times like we don't have a king. We have one king, Jesus the Christ. I want to see, first of all, this is the point, number one. I want to see leaders, or elders, or deacons, if you call them so, that are completely devoted to the work of the Lord for the flock. I want to see elders or pastors of fellowship that are forsaking everything and live with the sheep and get stinky because of the smell of the sheep. That they sleep in the night among the sheep, and during the day they are in the pasture among the sheep. We have Moses as an example. Then we have Jacob. Jacob says, in the day the heat ate me, in the night the chill of cold, because he'd been with the flock. Moses been in the wilderness of Sinai with his flock. And we have the picture of Christ, in a way, David, the king of Israel, that of his seed came Christ Jesus. He was just a boy with the flock. He knew nothing else besides being with the flock. The father even did not want to represent him before Samuel. Well, he has beautiful eyes, he's a ginger boy, but he's a shepherd. But he killed the lion and the bear, and then later on he killed Goliath. And later on he really was a leader and a king for Israel. It started with living and dwelling with the flock. So point number one, I want to see elders, and I say that with my teeth. I want to see elders that are devoted completely for the flock. Elders that come early in the morning to pray and praise and worship the Lord. Elders that they spend the time with the word of the Lord. getting the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, and the vision and the direction of God into where the flock have to go. But not the type of elders or leaders or pastors that go to a board yo-yo. Sometime in America, sometime I'm in Europe, sometime in this and that, because I'm famous and people want me. I have to be with the flock. I have to live with the flock. God will give me His fullness for the flock. I don't see it in Israel. I don't want to offend anybody. But I want the Lord to do it. I want to see in the body of Christ hunger and thirst after the word of the Lord. In my family, we read before every meal 3 chapters a day of the word of the Lord. Every meal before that, we sit and we read. And we don't eat, we talk about it. So sometimes if you sit with me on the table, you can get dried up, because the food is not coming on time. And the thing is, somebody, in that time he was an elder in Israel, he said to me, you're going to cause your children to leave the Lord because you are Bible, I don't want to use this word, but you are Bible sick. And you're forcing them to read the word of the Lord and they will leave the Lord. I tell you, if we don't read the Bible together, then nag on my head. But right for now, 5 of them received the Lord. They came to me and they said, we made a decision for Jesus. We cannot without Jesus. We want to be baptized completely. The other 3, there are too little that I will agree for their baptism. But the grace of the Lord is upon my family. I want to see. I want to see, because Emma says the days come that will be no hunger for water, not for bread, but for the word of the Lord. This is the thing in the life of the people of Israel in the land that's going to change us from A to Z. This is the tactique of the Lord. This is the life of Jesus. This is the very word that becoming flesh. The 3rd point that I want to see. I want to see that the people are filling with desire, burning desire to serve the Lord and Him only. I want to see that they will be restless. I want to see people that gather together, that all of their desire is to be together to worship the Lord, to seek what God wants us to do. Lord, what now? Where are you directing us? Where we should move? What do you want us to pray? But it's began with leadership. It's began with leadership that really sacrifice, that lay, Jesus said, the good shepherd would lay his life down for the flock. I come to conferences, I go to places sometime, and I see poor people, needy people. And I keep wondering, from which fellowship they are coming? How come they've been 2 years in that fellowship, and in that fellowship, and the problem did not taken care? How it can happen that you have a wounded sheep among the flock and you don't bandage him, you don't clean him? I tell you how. If we are busy in the sorrow of the world, if we are busy in all kind of things, we don't have wide angle in our vision to behold that lamb here and that lamb there. It's begun with the head, it's begun with the top. I'm sure when I will go back to Tiberias, when the people in Jerusalem will go back to their fellowships, I'm sure when others will go to other fellowships here, power of prayer and intercession will cease. Now I know some people might say, well, you're laying bad thing on the body. I'm telling you what is happening and what's going to happen, but we have remedy now. We have remedy here, we can pray. Open with me for the last verse. I'm really behind time. I cannot concentrate for a message because we need to pray. That's not the point, to give a good message. There is a medicine which is solution for every trouble in the body of Christ worldwide. Solution for every person, every individual in the body of Christ. Not just for him to be healed, but also to heal others and to heal the land. In Hebrew it's come in this status. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it goes this way. Just listen to my translation, please. And my people will humble themselves before me, will surrender before me, and I will surrender before the Lord. that my name is laid upon them. In English it says, who are called by my name. No, that my name is laid upon them. You remember the priestly blessing? To put the name of the Lord over Israel, and God will bless them. That's the job of the pastor, of the priest. They will humble before me those that my name is called upon them, and they will pray and seek my face always with repentance from all of their wicked ways. You remember we spoke about these kind of weeds, that we let them grow with us together, and they have roots, and they start to go and cover every good part in our heart, and we don't have even 30%, we have nothing. And we can grow with problems. And believers that is 30 years in the Lord say, praise Jesus, amen, hallelujah, he's marching in his own place. And then he shoots from his own place, and the other soldiers go and he shoots them in the back because he cannot set the lines with others. It's because weeds growing with us, and we don't let the Lord root them out, and it's aching and it's not nice. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive the sins, and I will even heal the land. Now you know that there was a man called Onan, Hayevusi, Onan the Jebusite. The ark of the Lord was there, and the Lord blessed him because of the ark of the Lord. I believe that the ark of the Lord, it's in our hearts too. Jesus Christ is the Lord, the King in our hearts. And because of us, he will bless our neighborhood. And because of the body in that city, he will bless the city. And because of the city, he might bless the whole land. You got the point? Come, brother, let us stand together. I want to see a burning fire of the body of Christ, to intercede, to pray, to seek the face of God. And it won't be food and salary. No more. You know, I have 8 children. I have 8 children that I have to feed daily. And if you sit at my table, I'm not lacking anything.
Amen.
And I don't need to write to anybody about it. My Father feed me because I try with all of my heart to fulfill what he wants me to do. Therefore, he is responsible to see that he supplies all things to me. And you are not different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One more thing, the last one, I think now I understand it in prayer. Pray that God will give clarity into our minds and into our hearts, so we will not use the time of the Lord in vain. You see, some of you will have to go to work, but what happened after work? It has to be completely under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Also in work, but especially your free time. That it will be completely filled by the Lord Jesus. Then you will have the power to change neighborhoods and cities and countries. Let us pray.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah.
My brother.
Father, as an elder, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. Lord, I want to cover the whole eldership in Israel. Father, I know that there are elders in Israel that are not worthy to untie their shoes. And I know that there are other elders in Israel who loves you with all of their heart. Yet, a lot of things keep them busy. Dear Father, I come against any condemnation, any criticism. Lord, I'm standing with them because we have to be all before you.
Yes.
Lord, I'm standing and I'm asking that you will have mercy upon us elders and leaders.
Yes, Lord.
You will put your goodness in us, your thirst.
Yes.
Lord, to worship and serve you first.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you will put in us your holy zeal to see you alone, to stand before you all day long.
Yes, Lord.
To see that you are standing before our face, Lord, that we are in your presence.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, change our heart to be real shepherds.
Yes.
Shepherds that love the flock, love the smell of the flock.
Yes, Lord.
That the flock is really in our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
That your love from our heart will stream into the flock.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we pray that you will put your burning fire among us.
Yes, Lord.
That people will see you as target number one.
Yes.
Lord, to be with you, to pray, to praise, to stand on the gap for this nation. Lord, that you will be the first one in our life, that the priority will be you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with your knowledge,
yes,
with your understanding.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just continue to pray, agree with these things that our brother shared. Let's continue to lift up the leaders and lift up the churches in the land. Pray after his instructions. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray you have promised that you would raise up true shepherds over your people. That you would separate those who have been living for themselves, to feed themselves, to clothe themselves with the flock, and to not care for the sick and the broken, but to care for themselves. Father, you are able to separate those shepherds and to raise up shepherds, Lord, that will heal the sick. Raise up shepherds. Lord, you, even if you have to come yourself to do it, Lord, you said, I will even come to heal my people and to gather my people and to restore my people. Lord, you are the good shepherd. You are the chief shepherd. You are the one who laid down your life for the sheep. And we pray for shepherds in Israel who will lay down their life for the sheep. We pray for a revelation and vision and clarity of understanding to come to their hearts. Lord, we pray for this burning zeal for the word of God and a passion for the will of God and a sacrificial spirit, O God.
Yes.
And then, Lord, I pray for this revelation that you are the one taking care of the shepherds.
Right.
And you are the one taking care of the sheep.
Yeah.
And you can supply all of the needs. You're not limited to the economy.
Yeah.
You're not limited to the season. You're not limited to how many people we know and how big is our mailing list and how many friends we've got. For God, you are our friend. God, you're the maker of heaven and earth. You're the one who sends the rain in season. You're the one who causes the things to grow. You're the one who can even multiply the bread and the fish if you have to do that, Lord. Give a revelation and give faith. Lord, I pray for a gift of faith and revelation in a heart of your leadership in Israel. That the Lord is their provider. That the Lord is the one caring for them. The Lord is the shepherd of the sheep. And they are your servants.
Yes.
And they are willing, Lord, to follow you and to lay down their life, Lord, as you have laid down your life. And God, we just pray you would strengthen them. They are weary and they are overburdened and they are so many things coming against them from everywhere. And it's such a hard fight here. And God, we pray for them like you prayed for Peter, that his faith fail not. We pray that their faith fail not. We pray they'll not yield to temptation. We pray that they will have strength to watch and pray. We pray that they will not be overcome with slumber. We pray that they will not be overcome with tiredness and weariness and weakness. We pray they'll not be discouraged. We pray they'll not be afraid. We pray they'll not be disappointed. We pray they'll not be isolated. We pray they'll not be divided. We pray they'll not be weakened. We pray they'll not be wounded. We pray they'll not be overcome. But Lord, we lift up their hands. We lift them up. We strengthen them. We encourage them. We fill them this day, God, with courage, with strength, with new hope, with new vision, O God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And please pray now for the burning fire of God, really, that the body of Christ will know nobody beside him. Hallelujah.
Could we do something? Let's all sit down for just one second. We're going to stand up again in a moment. But only those living in Israel, would you stand up? Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want all the rest of us to gather around these believers. Look around. And gather around them now. Go and stand beside them. And let's pray for a baptism of fire, a baptism of love, baptism of energy, of hunger. Let this be some kind of a first fruit sent out across Israel, representing all the believers in the land.
Amen.
All right, begin to pray right where you are. Just begin to cry out to God over them. Everybody praying together. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. In our hearts,
Amen.
There is nothing that should be there beside you, Lord Jesus Christ, beside your Holy Spirit there. And we pray that your burning fire will purify our hearts, will fill our heart only with you, Lord Jesus Christ. You shall know the Lord, and you shall worship the Lord, your God, and Him alone, Lord Jesus Christ. Put in us this zeal, Lord. This zeal, Lord, to will the works of God. To bring glory to your name, to be dedicated fully to you, Lord Jesus Christ, in everything we do, that your name shall be praised, dear Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Awake us. Awake us to take the place that you want us to be. Awake us to conquer the place you want us to conquer. Awake us, O Lord, to be your vessels on earth. Awake us, O Lord, to be your body on earth. Awake us, O Lord, to glorify your name on earth. Awake us, dear God, that we will be in your kingdom. We'll bring your kingdom here on earth. Lord Jesus, awake us in such a way that every knee shall bow before you. Every tongue will confess that you are the Lord. Awake us, dear Father, to love you with all of our hearts. To love one another. That the laws of the kingdom of God shall be in us. That your life, Jesus Christ, will be like the blood in our body.
Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Awake us. Awake us, Lord. We don't want to sleep. We don't agree to sleep, Lord Jesus. Help us. Help us to watch with you, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Jesus, to stand in the gap. Hallelujah, Lord. To identify us with your suffering. With your death and resurrection.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we pray for a spirit of supplication and prayer to come upon the believers in Israel, Lord, as
Hallelujah.
Never before. God, they're so busy, I know,
Hallelujah.
And they're so stretched,
Hallelujah.
And they're so having to work, and they're tired,
Hallelujah.
And there's so many pressures. But Lord, let the spirit of supplication, spirit of prayer, spirit of intercession come upon them, Lord, that they not only wake up and watch and be alert, but they pray. They don't just talk about things. They don't just discuss things. They don't just debate and argue and talk and theorize. But Lord, their energy is given to prayer. They just give themselves to prayer, and they pray in faith. They don't complain, but they pray in faith. They pray in the Spirit. They pray by divine direction. They pray by divine appointment. They pray by divine revelation. Lord, awaken the church to put on the armor of God and to stand up in this land and to be mighty warriors in prayer, Lord. Strengthen them. You have sent them here, many of them, to be prayer warriors. Revive that in their spirits, O God, and strengthen them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
In Isaiah it says, and all of your people are righteous. They will inherit the land forever. And it says, and all of your children are taught by the Lord, and their peace is great. It says also, Lord, I desire to do your will, and your law is in within my bowel inside. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus Christ. In other places said, behold, I am in the children that God have gave me to be a testimony, a sign, a wonder in the land. Our life have completely to reflect the Lord. Paul, after doing all things, he says this thing, he said, I count my life, I count my deed, everything, nothing but a dung. Nothing. It's all dung. But all what I want is to know Him. To know the power of His resurrection, the power of the gospel is the cross of Jesus Christ unto us. And to fellowship with His suffering, with His death, with His resurrection from the death. That I can gain the resurrection. Not this only resurrection, but eternity from here, from this moment, climbing up and up and up and up and up and up, till we are the body of Christ, perfect without any blemish. But that began here. It's beyond everything else. You want to share from Jeremiah?
You can be seated again.
To what Brother Chuck is sharing, I bear witness. It's written here. That's one of the points I wanted to share with you.
It's very simple, but many of us, I'm sure, missed this. I didn't see this until the Exodus from the north started. Both in Jeremiah 3 and in Jeremiah 23, and you can check it out for yourself, when God says, I will bring my people back from the north, in the same context, he says, at that time, I will raise up shepherds after my own heart. And why not? When God is bringing his people back, he wants shepherds here to be able to shepherd them in the truth. He also says something very severe against the false shepherds in both of those places. And we don't have to name who they are. All we need to ask the Lord is to turn the hearts of the false shepherds back unto him and to raise up shepherds after God's own heart in this country. Now is the time that we should see that, because we are seeing the Exodus from the north. So we can pray in faith in line with God's word, both Jeremiah 3 and 23. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every fact be established.
I want to invite all of you, come please here and say whatever you want to say.
Let him pray then.
Okay. And after that you come please.
Father, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we see that this is the time. No longer do we have to say when, Lord. We can say achshav, now, Lord.
Yes.
Because now you are bringing your people back from the north. Hallelujah. Now is the time to raise up shepherds after your own heart. Some of them, Lord, from amongst the people who were born and raised in this land. And some of them, Lord, from those who have come from faraway places, Lord God, to be established in this land. But Lord, however you choose to do it, we ask that you would raise up shepherds after your own heart, to be able to be prepared to feed your people who you bring from the four corners of the earth with truth, with light, with your son Yeshua sharing his bread and his body, his blood and his body to these people. Oh Lord God, you said this morning to us that you would take the curse of Balaam and you would turn it into a blessing. And so now we stand before you and we say, take the curse of our people, Lord God, when they said his blood be upon us and our children, and turn that into a blessing because you love us. Lord, as priests, we stand in the gap for the house of Israel, and we say, may your blood be upon us and our children for blessing and for good.
Hallelujah.
And erase the curse because of your love for us, Abba. In Yeshua's name.
There's one more curse. Bo, sit, sit, finish this session too. We don't have any other king but Caesar.
Amen.
We want to
Amen.
Take the Caesar out. The matter of fact, I'm so much against this curse that we don't have any king but Caesar, that I want the name of the verse will be changed to a name salvation.
Hallelujah.
Because that the name after Tiberius Caesar, that was in his time.
Yes, God. Yes, Lord. We humble ourselves before you, especially those of us from Jewish stock, Lord God, recognizing that the sins of the fathers have been passed down. Lord, our fathers proclaimed at one point, we have no other king but Caesar. But Lord, we say to you that that was sin, that that was blasphemy.
Right.
And we come against that, and we plead the blood of Messiah Jesus to erase that curse line. And we say that for us and our household, we will only serve the Lord and the King Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy One of Israel. We say that from this point on, there is only one King in Israel, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we will only serve you.
Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, we thank you for giving us the grace to be able to do that in your power. Hashem Yeshua.
I want to invite
all the leadership.
Our brother here has asked to share something.
Come on. Go ahead.
About warriors.
Yeah, I'm thinking of David and the mighty men that came to him. Will you read? I'm going to read some scripture. I'd like you to stand with me. As we think of David, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Think of the leaders.
think of the people in the fellowships in this land. Think of them in terms of coming to prayer, into prayer, and into ministry, as we think of the way they were armed for battle, etc. So stand with me, please, will you? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we take your word, and we take it to our hearts as we read portions of it now. And Lord, we're asking you to raise up these mighty men. Lord, we're asking you to raise up who will come to you out of their hearts, Lord. We're asking for this land of Israel. We're asking for leaders. We're asking for pastors. We're asking, oh God, for people who will truly follow those leaders, Lord, so that they really are one in you. So Lord, we read from your word. These were the men who came to David at Ziklag.
Yes.
They were among the warriors who helped him in battle. They were armed with bows and were able to shoot arrows or to sling stones, right-handed or left-handed. They were kinsmen of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. Some Gadites defected to David at his stronghold in the desert. They were brave warriors, ready for battle, able to handle the shield and the spear. Their faces were like the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. These Gadites were army commanders. The least was a match for 100, and the greatest for 1,000. It was they who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it was overflowing all its banks, and they put to flight everyone living in the valleys to the east and to the west. Then the Spirit came upon Amasa, chief of the 30, and he said, "And this, Lord, be the statement of those who come to you. We are yours, Jesus, from heart and mind and soul and with all their strength. We are with you, Jesus. Success, praise to you, Jesus. And praise, success to those who help you, for your God will help you." So David received them and made them leaders of the raiding bands. Lord, we ask you for many to be part of commando raiding bands in the spirit. Lord, physically to go to places where they will cause turmoil and fight and defeat the enemy, Lord. Where they'll blow up installations of the enemy, places where the occult now be. Let those, oh God, be demolished, and let them become places of praise and adoration and power station for our God. Thank you, Jesus. They helped David against raiding bands, for all of them were brave warriors. They were commanders in his army. Day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army like the army of God.
Amen.
Lord, let it be so. Let there be continual recruiting. Those who come and offer themselves gladly, willing of heart to join this band. And Lord, let the day after day continue until it is accomplished, Lord, your purpose in this land. Lord, the men were armed for battle. Hallelujah. Warriors ready for battle. Young warriors. Brave warriors, famous, Lord. Lord, men of Issachar, Lord, we especially pray for men of Issachar to be raised up who understand the times and know what Israel should do. Let them come, O God. Experienced soldiers prepared for battle with every type of weaponry in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Carrying shields and spears, ready for battle, experienced soldiers prepared for battle, armed with every type of weapon. All these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came fully determined to make Jesus king over all Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make Jesus king. Thank you, Father. We just commit it to you. We're asking for this great work, Lord, to begin now in the name of Jesus and to go on until the day that you appoint, Lord, when we see as the manifest kingship, lordship of Jesus Christ in Israel, Lord. Thank you for it.
We have this confirmation from our brother he got from the Lord right in our text for the conference in Zechariah 12:8. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, and like the angel of the Lord going before them. Amen.
Praise God. Tom want to share with us also, and our father will share with us. Then we will pray for all the leaders in Israel, deacons, if they are among us, and in general, if there are more pastor elders among us, we will pray for them too.
Yeah, I just felt impressed. This morning we were talking about the almond rod and how it needs to be maintained in the land, and obviously, as you're going back, many of you, you can help maintain it from the nations and encourage others to do that as well. But I believe that God, I don't believe that God wants there to be a vacuum left here after the people leave that are here now. And I don't know what God's strategy is or what he is purposing to do. We have 10 or so people that are praying around the clock on the Mount of Olives. Some of the congregations there that are praying around the clock right now in different ways. But I believe that there's something God wants to birth, or something God wants to do to make sure that there is not a gap left when the people that are here leave. That this vacuum is, the people are moving into this vacuum in whatever way God purposed, that there will be people standing with the almond rod, holding it out, that the full victory will come in this situation. And so let's just pray and believe God to birth anything by his Spirit, anything, any strategy, anything more that he wants to do in regards to not allowing a vacuum to be left when these people move forward.
There is one thing I noticed. Wherever Paul went, he always was very careful to lead the people over to the mercy of God.
Over the what?
The mercy.
The people over to the mercy of God.
Amen.
And cry for them over the people.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we just come before you today, Lord God, and Father, we just thank you for the way that you've spoken to these precious people here from the nations, Lord God, that have come up here, come up to Jerusalem in these days, Lord God, when many people told them they were crazy and told them they shouldn't come, but they followed the Lamb wherever he was going, and they came to Jerusalem to stand in the gap in these days, Father. We just believe you to bless them in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for their faithfulness, Lord God, and may they be an encouragement to many others as they return to stand with them and holding out the almond rod for the full victory in this situation in Israel, Lord God. And Father God, we just also believe you, Lord God, too, that there will not be a vacuum, Lord God. When these people leave, Lord God, we believe you for your mercy, Lord God, upon this situation, Lord God. And we believe you for the local believers in increasing ways to move into the situation, Lord God, to stand up, Lord God. We believe you to pour out a spirit of prayer and supplication upon the whole church, the whole congregation in Jerusalem, Lord God, and throughout this land, Lord God, and we believe that the vacuum will be filled, Lord God, with you raising up more intercessors from within the land, Lord God, and even bringing others from the nations to help stand week by week, month by month, Lord God, for this victory to be maintained, Lord God, and to be manifested in fullness in your appointed day, Father, in Yeshua's name. We especially lift up the leaders in this land, Lord God, the pastors, Lord God. Father, we know there are so many problems that there are, so many struggles, Lord God, but somehow we believe you give them a fresh revelation of yourself, Lord God, and a fresh vision of your purposes, Lord God, that would lift them above the circumstances, Lord God, to spend time with you, Lord God, and to truly be able to lead your people in the full destiny of what you purposed in prayer and spiritual warfare in these days and in these hours, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And Lord, furthermore, we break now in the name of Jesus these walls of division that call charismatic, non-charismatic, Pentecostal, not Pentecostal. Lord, these things, these titles are not from you. We all belong to you, Lord. We believe in the charisma and your gifts.
but you are the giver, Lord. And precious Jesus will break every wall of this kind that separate between brothers and sisters. And we declare our unity in you. You are one king over one flock in the name of Jesus. Come, Robert.
Share, please.
Oh, sorry. Preparing for the conference, the Lord brought especially two texts to my mind. I should read the Revelation, and in the Revelation there is told about the forces who make history. There are different things, hunger, death, and so on, but three forces are specially mentioned for us to encourage us. The Word of God, the prayer of the holy ones, and the witness of the believers. And the Greek word for witness is martys. Martys, the martyr. To witness means to be a martyr. That means not to be, it means being ready to commit the life, even if it is coming to death. And the other part of the scripture are the four texts about the servant of Lord, the servant of the Lord in Isaiah. And as Rowan Smith put it one day, I agree with him, these texts are given to Israel, but they are on the top, they talk about Jesus. He's the true servant of God, but all followers of Jesus come in the same servanthood of the Lord. And I want to pray with you a few verses from this text, the servant of the Lord. First, Isaiah 49, from verse 1 to 5. Listen to me, you Icelands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he was made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." And from Isaiah 50, on the beginning of verse 4, "The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame." Amen.
I want to say before our brother eating,
by no means this message, by no means these prayers is a condemnation on any leader, elder, or deacon in Israel. By no means. And soon after our brother will speak to us, I will tell you why, and we will pray about it.
I'm pushing because
it's, so right. It's the New Testament context of what he's been saying. Yeah. And I believe is what the Lord is saying to us. 1 Corinthians 12, the first 11 verses, every charismaniac knows, but later on it becomes a bit mystic. Sorry, did I say something wrong? And it speaks about the body as a unit, made up of many parts. And through all its, though all its parts are many, they form one body.
Amen.
So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. But now the body is made up of many parts. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ears should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. You can't excuse yourself. You belong. If the body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Just this illustration before we pray. My keys are lying where they shouldn't be. And my right eye observes it. Now what happens in the body before that key gets back in my pocket? Someone tell me. What happens? Pardon?
First the leg must go down.
No. That's the fault in the body. Others may say the right hand must stretch down and pick it up. That's the fault in the body. No ways. They need some teaching. I hear the head, Sasa. So what happens? My faithful right eye says to my head, which is Jesus, your keys are where they shouldn't be. And it keeps on sending that message until at a given time the head says to the body, you see, the instruction must come from the head. And I'm not saying, I'm not disparaging, the head isn't the leader. The head, the leader has a headship in the body. But the head I'm talking about is Christ. Mm-hmm. And we are members of him. And that's where it comes in. We need to always pray without ceasing. Right. So that the body might be healthy. It sends the messages to them, not gossip, not slander, but just the message. You know, I'll just share this with you. A man defrauded me once. And, defrauded me. Mm-hmm. And he defrauded me out of a lot of money. And I never had a written contract. I was naive in those days. And when I took it, I got the check. I didn't fight. I went home and laid that check on the ground, on the floor, on a carpet that I'd bought with money which I expected to get. And I said, Lord, my head, there are three people when this agreement was made, and this is not what was agreed. Now, it's over to you. And immediately
immediately the word of God came to me. That night could not the king sleep. I said, thank you, Lord, message received. I didn't worry. The next day, that man was dead. God has more power than what we have got. But let's communicate with the head and for a healthy body. And I believe that is our prayer, our brother's burden too. We heard about the various members from the Old Testament, that the body should function and that shepherd should recognize that. May God be blessed as we call upon him for that.
I'm going to pray.
He wanted me to say doing something? I was talking with Ben.
No, we're going to pray about this body that's got to be functioning.
Come on. Yeah, come with me here.
Praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you that you've not left us helpless.
Right.
Jesus, you've come to give us life.
Yes.
And we've commemorated that life last night. And you've said, whoever feeds on me and drinks of me, Lord, that's the life.
Right.
Feeding on you, drinking from you,
Lord Jesus.
Your life, your body, your blood. Father, we thank you that you've made this provision, that we're alive, a living body to serve you. We pray, forgive us, Lord, for taking things in our own hands instead of committing them to you.
Right.
Instead of communicating with you, Lord, we fight and push and shove and grab and command, Lord, in the horizontal plane. Whereas Azasabobonamahokubati, Sirabanamakabati Sabayan. Lord, may we honor you as our head. May it from this day not be lip service, Jesus is Lord, but a life displaying that Jesus is the head of the church.
Amen.
That you are Lord. Lord, we pray this for the church in Israel to be an example to the world. And forgive the Gentile churches. Forgive us, Lord, our apostasy. Cleanse us from it. Where Jesus is honored as Lord in lip, but in life it's denied. Forgive us for the bad example we've set the Jewish believers. But raise up here a body, Lord, that will produce sons that will deal with the enemy in the gates for Jesus' sake.
Amen. I had to confirm it with Barry. But why I said that we don't speak out of condemnation, you don't care about food for a while, okay? We have enough food and then, it's 5 minutes. We'll not make any difference most of the time there. Let you open the gates. It's all right. That's why we call it to be the cup. The thing is that there was a curse that had been laid by the Freemasons and also earlier before through satanic people against the body of Christ, against leadership in the body of Christ. One of the curses was that leaders will not really relate to the word of God, that they will prefer peace. And they will compromise at any time that peace will be in the church, and they will not teach any message that might put people on the right spot. That the body will reject the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That leaders or elders or pastors will be caught, will be fallen into adultery, will be fallen into problem with finance, with money, and so on forth. Many curses laid on the body of Christ. And in the year 88, you know what happened, how many things have happened. And to my sorrow, problems of morality in the body of Christ increase. I know that personally from things I saw and I had to deal with. And I think we need to break this curse in the name of Jesus. So if it's all right with you, you are our leader, brother. Yeah, come. But remember, you have 5 minutes. He will spank us.
I just want to add to that because it also brings things down a little bit home. Several years ago in Safat, in fact, many of the rabbinical occultic leaders in the country got together and in a sense made a covenant together to curse the Christian ministries in this land, both of the Gentile believers and of the Jewish believers. And after that happened, and they did that together, there were several things that began to take place in certain ministries that the doors shut or they collapsed here. And so I believe that in the deep, dark halls of wickedness, not only the Freemasons are doing that, but also I believe that there are religious leaders in this land who have crossed over the line of just Talmudic study into actual occultic involvements in mystical Judaism and have been doing the same against leaders of congregations, Messianic congregations here and other Christian ministries in the land. So I think we need to just break it totally.
And that's what we call Pulsad Noir that our brother shared with you, that they cursed Saddam Hussein. So I think we will stand here in the middle, leaders and pastors, and you will pray for us. It's all right with you?
Amen.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, this is a very new thing. I did not tell in my book that one of the reasons for my depressions for 2.5 years was that there was issued 3 curses against me, one in South Africa, and one here in Israel by Kabbalistic Jewish people, and one north of my own city, Copenhagen, where a group of Satanists met for a day of prayer fasting. It's incredible. And so they issued curses against me and my family. And it's a very real thing, and we need to safeguard all leaders of the church, their families, and you need to pray for them on a regular basis. That's why Paul called for prayer wherever he went, because he knew that we need protection against the wiles of the enemy. So I will be also glad to pray not only for these leaders, but for all the leaders in Israel against the forces who are even more strong here than they are elsewhere in the world against God's people.
There is a way we put undue pressure on the leaders in Israel too, because they're here in Israel. We expect them to be supermen. Church in Israel is just another church on earth, with the same battles we have anywhere, but it is intensified here, and we put expectations on them that can almost be like a curse. We expect things on, we put pressure on them. Instead, we should really pray even more for them, fight their battles with them.
Yeah. One has 2 brothers coming from the outside. We will pray now and break the curses against. And it includes all the leaders, and we just, in a special way, take these brothers as representatives of the spiritual leaders, and we pray for them.
Lord, we have been admonished to look to you as the head, and we recognize, Jesus, you are the chief shepherd, and that as you prayed for Peter, that his faith fail not, that it's Satan who desired to sift him like wheat, attacked him. You delivered him through your prayers and sustained him. And so we call upon you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord of the harvest, head of the church. This is your building. These are your servants. The enemy has tried to come in and plant weeds and plant curses and thwart the work of God. Satan has sifted your servants, O God, as wheat. But we pray for them, Lord, as you pray for them. And we join with you, Lord Jesus, great head of the church and shepherd of the sheep, that you deliver your servants out from this attack.
Amen.
And that today
We as a body of believers from all over the world agree together in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the strength and authority of the Lord Jesus and with the full weapons of God. We destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
We destroy all those lies. We cast them down and we send them back upon the heads of those who have issued them in the name of Jesus. We set all these brothers free and the churches. We set them free from all the sifting and all this attacks. We set them free in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. We cut it off in the name of the Lord. We raise the shield, your shield around these congregations, O God. We pray for the pure Holy Spirit to come in, for holiness to come in, for faith to come in, and for revelation and vision to come in. Visit them, Lord. Come to them, Lord Jesus. Visit them personally. Take them by the hand and lead them. Let them have a visitation of God and a refreshing from heaven, according to Acts chapter 3, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Lord, we come especially against specific curses that have been issued against the leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ in Israel, whether they come from dead Judaism, Kabbalism, or from Muslim, or from any other source. We take a stand against these curses. And Lord, we just cancel them and cancel them.